listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Most of us have been watching this story over the last week or so. There was vote counting in anticipation of what the Presbyterian Church USA would do when faced with the question of redefining marriage. For some of us, it wasn't much of a question because this has been a story that's been unfolding for more than a decade, at least, in the Presbyterian Church USA. Why, though, was this largest of Presbyterian church bodies in the United States so late to the game when you compare it with the rest of mainline Protestantism, liberal Protestantism? They seem to be positively dragging their feet. Joining us to answer some of those questions, Jeff Walton, Communications Manager for the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. Jeff, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Why is it that the Presbyterian Church USA has kind of lagged behind its sisters in the mainline Protestant denominations?
Yeah, part of the reason is probably their form of government. In the case of changing marriage so that it's not just about a man and a woman, but it's about any two persons, that sort of change within the Presbyterian Church requires local presbyteries to ratify a decision that's made by the General Assembly, which is the governing body. So in the case of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America or the Episcopal Church, they could do these decisions at their denominational conventions without local churches giving their approval, whereas in the PCUSA, that required this additional step. So I think that's part of it. Another reason may have been that this was sort of the last step in what's kind of been an ongoing process for, as you mentioned, the last 10 years. A big thing that occurred a couple General Assemblies ago had to do with removing what's called the Fidelity and Chastity Clause in the PCUSA. What that is that the Presbyterian Church required of its clergy that they either practice fidelity in marriage or chastity in a single life. And that clause, even though it doesn't mention homosexuality, was a real barrier to the acceptance of homosexuality. It was actually added in the 1970s as sort of a backstop to prevent this sort of development from occurring. So what happened was that language was removed from the ordination vows that Presbyterian candidates for ordination would have to agree to. And then after that was taken away, and the church really didn't have any decisive teaching on marriage at that point, then they were able to proceed with the redefinition of marriage itself. So I think those two things both contributed in the delay of doing this, when something that was accomplished by Episcopalians and liberals in the Lutheran ELCA for several years already.
So a more cumbersome form of government, and some sticky language that they needed to expunge from their documents, and then it was easier to do. What about the presbyteries that have rejected this change? There are not many of them, but I think there are 41, if I'm not mistaken, that have rejected the redefinition. What becomes of them?
Yeah, that's a great question to ask, because some of these are going to be trying to figure out how on a regional level they can continue with their existing policies of not having a redefinition of marriage, and others are probably going to start looking for sort of an exit strategy. We've already seen over the last 2 years a large number of Presbyterian churches seeking dismissal with property from their denomination. And depending on where they are in the country, that's been kind of inconsistent. Some of them have had fairly simple, straightforward deals in order to depart the churches. Others have had more difficult negotiations or had litigation, as we also saw in the Episcopal Church. So that's going to be accelerating now because this attempt to redefine marriage is a step that many of these local churches and many of these presbyteries are not going to want to follow forward in. So I think we're going to see some big changes in the denomination as a result of this.
It's being called a change in their constitution. Do we know exactly how what has exactly been changed in the Constitution or is being proposed up to this point before the final presbytery put it over the top? Do we know what that is?
Yes, yeah. This is a modification of what's called the Book of Order, which is the way in which Presbyterians govern themselves. And what this is going to look like is in June, there will be a final tally made of all of the votes. Now, as you said, as of yesterday, those who were affirming this change have argued that not everyone has voted yet. So that'll take place in June, and then the policy will take effect. As far as what the language will look like, it used to say that marriage was between a man and a woman. Now it will say two persons, comma, traditionally a man and a woman. So that opens up the space for there to be same-sex marriages in this new constitutional language.
And that was language specifically designed to, it sounds to me like language specifically designed to get the goal of the redefinition of marriage while trying to at least throw a bone to those who advocate for traditional marriage, but it didn't appear to work.
Yeah, I mean, it does appear that they were trying to reduce resistance to this. But yeah, at the same time, I mean, ultimately, this is a significant change. And I think most conservatives saw this for what it was and opposed it. But the number of conservatives within the PCUSA has been steadily diminishing. This is a denomination that, since it was formed in the 1980s by the reunification of two different Presbyterian churches, has gradually shrunk, and that has accelerated since the early 2000s. So there are a number of people who have chosen to affiliate with other churches as a result of this. And most of the congregations that we're seeing that have chosen to leave the denomination are either affiliating with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church or with a new body that is called the Evangelical Covenant Order of Presbyterians, which is a group that formed of congregations coming out of the PCUSA.
So finally, it sounds like what you're saying here is we can expect this, a lot of those issues about who leaves and especially property issues to end up being resolved in the courts as we have with the Episcopal Church USA and others.
In many cases, yes. And there are some states in which the property laws and trusts are going to favor congregations that are going to be departing, and others in which they're going to favor the presbyteries that are going to try to hold on to the properties. So you're going to see an inconsistent patchwork here of rulings, and it's not going to be consistent across the country.
Jeff Walton is Communications Manager for the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. We will post a link to the Institute on Religion and Democracy at issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jeff, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Philip Magnus will join us. We'll talk about music in church. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.